This week's parasha is Parashas Kedoshim. So I thought for the final halacha shir on Sunday, we talk about cutting payas and shaving. That's one of the halachas mentioned in this week's parasha. I've gotten some shilas from the Talmidim over the year about the razor cuts on the neck and in the front of the neck, the back of the neck, exactly where you can cut on the payas. Can I have the barber trim my payas with a trimmer? Does he have to use the scissors? These are very important shilas, lamaisa, that mamish come up. They don't come up now. We're not taking haircuts during Sfira, but it's important to know what the halach is so that the next time that we'll be able to make a haircut at the shave, that we'll be able to do it properly. So the Gemara in Makis makes reference to a pasuk in Parashas Kedoshim. In Parashas Kedoshim, it says, Lo sakivu pas roshem, velo sashche seis pas zikonechem. But the Torah says, you're not allowed to do hakofas harosh. Hakofas harosh, you can't cut your hair to be makif the rosh. And the poshup shat is you're not allowed to be makif, to be mashve, to even out the payas to where the hairline is. So that's like a circle all the way around. As we'll mention, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that hakofas kol harosh is also hakofa. If you shave the entire head, that's also an issa. Shaving the entire head is also an issa, without having any payas or anything. That's also hakofa. But the simple hakafah is that you shave off the payas, and then you just have like a circular rim of hair around the head. So there's an isra hakafah zarosh, there's an isra hashchosas hazaka, to be mashchis the zaka, to destroy the zaka, to destroy the beard. So the Gemara in Makkos and Avchofa Mebeis quotes Rav Chista, Tani Tana Kamei, Rav Chista, Echad HaMakif VeEchad HaNikif Loken. If both the Makif and the Nikif, both the person who cuts off the payas and the one whose payas are cut off, they both get Malkus. The Pasuk says, Lo Sakifu Pa'as Roshem, in plural. So from that we learn there's an Issa for the Makif and Issa for the Nikif as well. So the Gemara asks, how can the Nikif get Malkus, but he didn't do a Maisa, he's just sitting there. So different answers in the Gemara. The simplest answer is that this is going according to the Mandamer, that Lav Sheva Maisa Loken Alav. The specific Manda Omer who holds that even without a mice you can get Malkus. Okay, but we don't paskin like that. So the Gemara comes around at the end to say that no, b'misayeya v'divrei akol. Really, it could be done according to everyone, even according to the Manda Omer, that lav shem b'maisa ain't lokin love, which is how we paskin. But here, the Nikif is misayeya to the Makif. He's helping him. You know, the Makif says, you know, turn your head this way. And turn your head that way. You know, he moves his head to make it easier for the Makif to cut. So because he's misayeya, if we assume it's a yesh bo mamish over here, so therefore the nikif is gonna get malchus. That's the gemara. Comes the Rambam Menuchas Avodas Kochavim in Perek Yudbeis Halacha Aleph. He writes that a person doesn't get malchus for being a nikif. The miskaleach is not going to get malchus for being a nikif unless he's misayeya to the megaleach. Presumably, the Rambam is just paskening like this last day of the gemara that the nikif only gets malchus if he's misayeya. The Ravid disagrees. The Ravid says that he might not get Malkus, but if he's Misayeh Midaito, he violates the Lav. What's the Ravid saying? So the Kesef Mishnah explains, the Ravid understands from the Rambam that without Siyua, not only is there no Malkus, there's no Lav either. There's no Lav Bechlal. There's no Lav of Lo Sakifu, the Nikav is not going to violate any kind of Isser without being Misayeh. To that, the Ravid says, no, he's not going to get Malkus if he's not Misayeh. But even without being Misayeya, he still violates an Issa. He still will violate an Issa, he'll violate the Lav. What's the Machlokas, the Rambam and the Ravid, whether without Misayeya, the Nikav can still violate the Lav? So the Briski Rav has a famous Vart over here. He says that the Machlokas is what's the nature of the Issa of the Nikav? Not to be Nikav, not to allow one's payas to be cut off. What's the nature of that Issa? Is it an Issa b'fnei atzmo? There are two Isserim here. There's an Isser to be Makif Esarosh, to cut off the payas, and there's an Isser to be that individual to have the payas cut off. Are they two different Isserim? The Isser of the Nikav is an Isser of the Atzmo? Or no, maybe the Isser of the Nikav is that the Nikav can't be a Makif. There's really an Isser to be Makif Esarosh. That's the Isser. It's an Isser Makif. But sometimes the Nikav can turn into the Makif too. How? When? If he's Messiah to the Makif. Right, it's that by being Misayeh to the Makif, the Nikif turns into the Makif. It's not that the Issa of the Nikif is an Issa of the Nikif. No, the Issa of the Nikif is that he's not allowed to be a Makif. How is he a Makif? He's a Makif if he's Misayeh. The Ravid assumes, like the first tzad, that the Issa Nikiv is an independent Issa. So he says it doesn't matter whether he's Misayeya or not. Even if he's not Misayeya, he still violates the law because there's an Issa to allow oneself to be a Nikiv. Even if you're not moving, there's nothing, you're not Misayeya B'chlal. If you're Misayeya, if you do a Misa, then you'll get Malkus. But Zokta Ravid, even without Siyua, you'll still violate the Issa. But the Rambam holds, no, the Issa of the Nikiv is that the Nikiv is not allowed to be a Makif. So if he's not Misayeya, he's not a Makif. So if he's not a Makif, then he can't have any Issa B'chlal. The Rambam holds that unless you're Misayeya, you're not going to get an Issa. So if the Nikiv just comes to the barber, I mean, he walks into the barber, right? He's telling him to cut his hair. He's not telling him to cut just to cut his face. He has to cut his hair, right? So if the person is standing still, according to the Rambam, if he's not Misayeya, he doesn't violate any Issa. Even if the barber is going to cut his payas too much, there would be no Issa, according to the Rambam. According to the Rabbi, there still is an Issa. There's no Malkus unless he's Misayeya, but there still is an Issa, even if he's not Misayeya. La halacha de Shulchan Aruch and Yaredeya and Simon Kuf Pei Aleph Sivdalet Paskins like the Ravid, that the Nikah violates an Isser even without Siyua. Even if he just sits there, he'll violate the Isser even without being Misayeh at all. So you got to be careful. You can't be a Nikif, meaning you can't allow your payas to be cut off in a way that the Isser HaKavas HaRosh is going to be violated, even if a Goy is the barber. It's not a Jew. It's not. You're not, right? There's no Lifnei Iver that you're allowing the Jew to be a Makif and you're causing him to violate the Issa Makif. No, so he's a Goy. Even if he's a non-Jew, you're still not allowed to go to a non-Jewish barber and to allow him to cut off the payas in a way that's Asa, because the Issa of the Nikif, according to the Rabbi, the Issa of the Nikif is even if he's not Misayeh B'chlal, even if you don't even move your head at all. And the Shulchan Aruch paskens l'chumah like the Ravid, that the Issa of the Nikif is even without Siyua. So you got to be very careful. You have to be able to tell the barber what to do, because if you don't, then there's going to be a problem. So what is Hakafa? What do you have to do to be called Hakafa Sarosh? So we discussed Hakafa's Kol HaRosh might also be Hakafa. But how do you have to be Makif? How are you cutting the hairs? So the Mishnah in Makis and Avchav says, Eino Chayev Ad Shiyit Lenu B'tah. They have this Loshon, that you're not going to be Chayev for some kind of an Isser unless you take it off with a razor. So which Isser is the Mishnah talking about? That's a major Machlokes in the Rishon. The Pashup Shad is that the Mishnah is talking about cutting the beard, right? Hashkosas pa'as hazakah. That's l'chora what it's talking about, because we know that a tar, a razor, is a giluach sheyesh b'hashkosa. That's a shaving where you destroy. You're destroying the hair, destroying through the cutting of the tar. The pasuk says losashches eis pa'as zakonecha. The iser of cutting off the pa'as hazakon is an iser losashches hashkosa. So it makes a lot of sense that the Mishnah that says that the Isser is only violated if you use a tar, that applies to cutting off the beard. And that's how the Shulchan Aruch paskens in Siman Kuf Pei Aleph Sif Yud. So when it comes to cutting off the beard, it sounds like the only Isser is to do it with a razor. To do it with a razor. You do it with the scissors, the beard, that should be fine. Most poskim assume that our electric shavers are misparai. They have a din of misparai, they have a din of scissors. Even if you do it very, very close, misparayim, what's called misparayim ke'ein tar. That's the lotion that the poskim has. There's tar, and there's misparayim ke'ein tar. Tar is with the razor, and then there's misparayim ke'ein tar. You're using a scissor. It's not one blade, it's two blades, a cutting motion with two blades, one on top of the other. But if you cut so close with misparayim, so that's ke'ein tar, so you think, oh, maybe that's so close. No, but when it comes to the zakon, if it's only misparayim ke'ein tar, then that's mutter, because that's not hashchosa. It's still misparayim, so that's going to be permissible. So many poskim assume that our electric shavers have a din of misparayim, not tar. Even if it's misparayim ke'ein tar, I mean, our electric shavers can cut pretty close. Right, but since it's only misparayim, it's a blade action, that there's a metal piece on the outside, like a screen, as you call it. Right? There's a screen, and then the other, the inside blade is cutting against the screen. So it's like a scissor. It's not a razor. The blade is not on the skin itself. So because it's not on the skin itself, it's not a razor, so that would be permissible, because we assume this Baram Kain Tar by the Zokon is permissible. Some were Ma'ora that made that maybe Norelko's lift and cut shaver could be a problem. If the advertisement is true, that it's really lift and cut, you know, so what happens? I think the way the advertisement is described, right, it pulls the hair into the shaver, and then it cuts very close to the skin. So that could be tar mamish, if the advertisement is really true. I mean, the picture that they have on the advertisement certainly looks like that, but I don't know if it really works like that, you know. So it seems a little hard to believe that it really can work on every single hair. I'm not sure. So some say, well, we have to trust them. If they created some kind of an apparatus that's lift and cut, so it's pulling the hair into the screen, and then it's cutting directly on the skin, that's tar mamish, and tar mamish by pas hazokan is a problem. Some will also ma'ora that maybe the Remington micro screen cutting system, I'm not sure if they have this anymore, but you know, in my time, the Remington micro screen system, they said the screen is very sharp. So some say that if you really rub the screen on your skin, that screen itself can cut the hair. It's that sharp. Maybe a new Remington micro screen shaver. I don't know if after a while it stays that sharp. So some say maybe you can't use that shaver because that's tar mamish also. You're going to run the Remington micro screen on your cheek, and it's going to cut the beard, but not with the blade inside. You can even cut the beard with the micro screen. Maybe it's better to get a different shaver. Not an Norelco lift and cut, not a Remington microskin. I don't know which kind of shavers you guys have. But some say that it's better not to get these shavers. You know, there are many, many brands that you can get. Try to get one that really will be Misparayim, Kain Tar. You know, nowadays it's even better because, you know, face beards are very in. So, you know, people are not cutting it so close anyway. We do have to define what close means. What's Kain Tar, what's Shalo Kain Tar. But makes it a little bit better, but certainly a person who has a close cut, there would be Misparayim Kain Tar. And if the metal on the outside is cutting, then that's Tar Mamish, that would be a problem. So maybe it's best to avoid these shaving systems and get a shaver that will only be Misparayim Kain Tar. And this is all in terms of the beard. What's the halacha when it comes to the peis? The peis. Is the issa limited to tar, or maybe even misparayim kain tar? So that's a major machlokas in the Rishon. Right? Everyone says legabe hashchoshas pas hazokon that it's only osur b'tar, only osur with a razor. The question is, are our shavers like a tar or not? That's the shayla. When it comes to pas harosh, that's not so simple. The Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Hilchos Avodas Kochavim, Perek Yubeis Halacha Vav, the Rambam says that the issa, even by hashchoshas pas hazokon, is only b'tar. Big cool in the Rambam. He says it's Tzach Lezel Bezach. Same thing, this is only the time, not just Pas HaZaka, but Pas HaRosh as well. The Rambam assumes that the Mishnah in Ochayev Achit Lena Batar is talking about both about Hashkos' Pas HaZaka and Hashkos and Hakovas HaRosh. The Rosh in Makas, though, disagrees. The Rosh says that by Hakovas HaRosh, even Misparayim Kain Tar is a problem. Even if you go with a scissor, but if you cut it really close, that's a problem when it comes to the pace. Comes to the beard, the Rosh admits, no, Misparayim Kain Tar is okay. Only Tar Mamish is a problem. So you have to find out what is Tar Mamish. But Misparayim Kain Tar would be good. But the Rosh says that by Hakavas HaRosh, there even Misparayim Kain Tar is going to be a problem. He learns that Eino Chayev Ad Shiyidlanu B'Tar, the Mishnah, is talking about Hashchoshes Pas HaZaken. It's only talking about the beard. Tar is only a problem by the beard. But by Hakavas HaRosh, even Misparayim Kain Tar is also a problem. There's a discussion where the Rambam and the Rosh got this from, what's the Lomdus, but not for now. So the Shulchan Aruch in Yeridaya, there in Kuf Pei Aleph, Siv Gimel, Shulchan Aruch quotes two dais, and he concludes that one really should be Machmer for the Rosh. When it comes to Hakavas Pas HaRosh, should be Machmer for the Rosh, that even Misparayim Kain Tar is a problem. That's a big Chumer. That's a big chumra that you can't even use a scissor. If you're going to cut it kain tar, you're going to use a scissor and cut it really close. I mean, if you have long payas, and you're going to cut them a little bit, that's not kain tar, that's not a problem. If you're going to cut it really close with a scissor, or with a shaver, even if you say the shaver is misparayim kain tar, a trimmer, right? The trimmer could be Kain Tar. It's very close. Very close. So according to the Rush, that's a problem. Even though it's not Tar, it's only Misparayim Kain Tar, but by Hakovas Pasar Rosh, according to the Rush, even Misparayim Kain Tar would be a problem. So if you're going to be Macher for the Rush, it would seem as though you have to tell the barber not to cut the sideburns with a trimmer. He can use a scissor, but he should not use a trimmer. If he cuts with a scissor, it's not going to be so close. Use a trimmer, that's going to be Misparayim Kain Tar. That's going to be very, very close. That's going to be a problem. So this is an extra chumrah that you have to be careful that he should cut the sideburns only with a scissor, not with a trimmer, so that it won't be Misparayim Kain Tar. What is the payo? What are payos? Okay, we can't cut, let's assume we're going to be machra for the rush, you can't cut the payos with Misparayim Kain Tar, with a trimmer. But what's called a payos? What's called a payos? That's also a machlokas. That's also a machlokas. The Shulchan Aruch has different lashonas. In one place in Siman Kuf Pei Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch says that payos harosh are makom chiburo sof harosh hu makom chiburo lelechem miyamin umesmo, where the head attaches to the cheekbone. You know, you can feel the cheekbone on the side of your head. Seems to be what the Shulchan Aruch is saying in Sif Aleph. The Shach explains that means eitzel ha'ozen, next to the ear, the cheekbone that connects the head to the cheek, right? The head bone's connected to the cheekbone, right? So right there, that's the end, that's the payos. So anything above that will be considered the payos, but anything below that is the zokan, that's not the payos. But then later in Sif Tes, the Shulchan Aruch says, shir ha'peh mikeneged seir sha'al padachto va'ad lamata min ha'ozen, till below the ear. A little bit of a different understanding of where the end of the payos are. The truth is, it's a machlokas rishonim in the Gemara and Makas. The Rivan, who takes over for Rashi there on Daf Chaf, he has two different opinions. It's not so clear where the payos end. Do they end at the beginning? You know, the connection of rosh to lechi to cheek, or maybe they begin lamata min ha'oz. Maybe it's much below that. Lamata min ha'ozen, sofa ozen, lamata min ha'ozen. What does lamata min ha'ozen mean? What does sofa ozen mean? The Imre Yosher, Rav Meir Arik, he wanted to suggest, you know where sofa ozen is? Sofa ozen is not the bottom of the earlobe. No, it's the piece of cartilage on top of the earlobe. I can't draw this. But, you know, the ear has a lobe, right? A soft part. But then there's a cartilage. Touch the outer... Right, the outer of the innie. If you go around the inner part of your ear, it's like a little hard, right? The cartilage. So the bottom part, right above the earlobe. Right? If anyone you know has ability in art, Charlie, did you take a course in art? No, just in blackboards. Okay, right. So the cartilage. The Imre Yosher wants to say that the cartilage is the end of the ear, and his raya. His raya is that when an eved ivri is nirtza, where is he nirtza? He's nirtza on the tnuch ozen, on the cartilage, not on the earlobe. We think he's nirtza on the earlobe. That's where some people have piercings. That's the only place where women should have piercings. Enough said. But the nirtza gets the piercing on the tnuch. Right? On the tnuch, which is, so he says that's the end of the ear. He gets it on the tnuch ozen, that's the ear. So the earlobe is not the ear, he says. So sofa ozen should be right at that piece of cartilage. You don't have to go till the end. The sideburns don't have to be till the end of the ear. Others are more machmer, and they say, no, the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch is sofa ozen, that's till the end of the ear. And then in the Tshuvas Eretz Tzvi by the Kozhig lover, Rav Aryeh Leib Fromer, so he feels that sofa ozen is a big chiddush. He feels emtza ha'ozen is the proper pshat that the Rivan, that we should follow in the Rivan. Emtza ha'ozen, right? By the lechi bone, by the cheekbone. Why does he say that? He says, I'll prove it to you. Because young children also have payas, but their payas go until the cheekbone. They don't go below that. So that shows you that's the payas, but not below that. Right. Have you ever seen a young child with hair growing out of the face below? It might hang lower, but it's the roots are above the cheekbone. What's more, when people age, so the hair turns gray, and very often the hair of the head turns gray before the hair of the beard. Sometimes yes and sometimes no, it's not so clear, but for most people, the hair of the head turns gray first. That was the hair that the person got earlier in life. So somehow HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it that hair turns gray first. And if you notice on the sideburns, it turns gray above the cheekbone, he says. It turns gray above the cheekbone. He says it's obvious that's the peah, the rest of it is the beard. So these are the different shittas. You'll find people when they grow their sideburns long, so what are they? So how do they grow it? So some grow till the cheekbone. Some are machmir to have like a little bit more than the cheekbone. What do they do? So they're assuming that sofa ozen is till the cartilage. And some take the Shulchan Aruch Kepshuto, they assume sofa ozen is till the bottom of the ear. So they'll grow the peyos until the bottom of the ear then. There even are some people who hold it's till the cheekbone here, so they grow it even longer. But that's not so common. Those, the three shittas are the three shittas that we enumerated till now. Now, what's the idea of growing it longer? That's the Pas HaRosh. Pas HaRosh seems to be up here. Like, well, why is it going to the bottom of the ear? The Parshat Pshat is Minat Torah. Pas HaRosh is much higher. But there's a hiddur mitzvah to grow it a little bit longer to ensure that you're not going to be makif Pas HaRosh. And the question is, until where does that go? Does it go until Sofa Ozen? What is Sofa Ozen? Does it go until the end of the, you know, the connection between the head and the lechi? That's the Shaila. That's the Shaila. Okay. So how long does the hair have to be? What is Misbaram Kaintar? What is Misbaram Shalok Kaintar? So that's also a machlokas, but let's just keep it simple. Very often in halacha, when we talk about hairs, so the way, the length of the hair, when the Mishnayos and Nidah talk about a nozir, or when they talk about Shtei Saros in terms of godless, so there are different shiurim. So one shiur that we're familiar with is that the hair has to be long enough that the head of the hair can be twisted over and touch the ikar, touch the root of the hair. That's a shear. That's the shear godless. When you're talking about the seraphic godless, so we pass them like that, shita. But there's another shita, and that is kedei likrotz b'tziporin. That it's not long enough for the head of the hair to go to the root, to turn it over, to go to the root, but rather that you can grab it with your nail and cut it with the nail. That's much shorter. Much shorter. So some poskim hold that regarding payas, we got to go with the ikar shear, that it's belochov rosh shel seyar with tzadikaro, that you have to be able to turn the seyar, you know, it has to be long enough that if you know what you're doing, you'll be able to turn the head of the hair to the root. Many poskim are mekel, so in the Sefer Nefesh Harav, he quotes from Moshe Soloveitchik, felt that for Pa'as HaRosh, it's enough that it's kedei likrotz b'tziporin, that you can grab it with the nail, not so long. But it's still something. It's not, you know, down to the skin. There has to be something there. So that's the chumrah. The chumrah is that certainly to cut with a trimmer up here, close to the ear, it's above, right? It's above the chibur of the rosh with the lechi. Certainly, way above the sofa ozen. So to cut with a trimmer up here, if you'll cut shtei saros, they say the shear is shtei saros according to most rishonim. If you cut two saros, Misparayim Kain Tar, so then according to the Rosh, you might have a problem. So it's best to tell the barber to only cut with a scissor. If he cuts with a scissor, not with a trimmer, it's not going to be Kain Tar. If he cuts only with a scissor, it'll be short, but hopefully it'll be Kedei Likrotz B'Tziporen, that you'll be able to grab it with the Tziporen, and that should be enough to ensure that even according to the Rosh, you're not going to violate any is. Okay, that's in terms of cutting of the payas in general. Now, the final question is what we mentioned before: razor cuts. What's the din of a razor cut on the back of the neck and on the front of the neck? So, in terms of the front of the neck, the Raman Yaradeya there at the end of Siman Kuf Pei Aleph, he says it's a problem. It's usur to do a razor cut on the neck. Why? So the Taz explains that some hold that the Adam's apple, right there on the neck, that's part of the zakah. If there's a whole machlokas we showed him where the zakan is, there are five spots. You know, either it's these four, and then the one in the middle, or maybe it's here and here and there in the middle. It's a big machlokas, like seven different shittas in the Gemara and Makas. Not for now, but some say that a part of the zakan is on the garon. So if you're going to use a razor to cut the hair on the neck, so you could violate the iser hashchasas pasazokan betar. That would be a serious problem. Other day is hold. No, it's only an iser drabbanim. That's not part of the zakan. Zakan is somehow related to the cheek, right? It's on the bottom of the cheeks, right? That's where the zakan is. It's an iser drabbanim. Why? Because it's very hard to know where the neck ends and where the beard begins. So Chazal say, don't do a razor cut on the neck, because we're concerned. If you do the razor cut on the neck, you might come to cut a little bit higher, and maybe that's part of the beard, and then you'll violate the iser vashkosas pasazokon by cutting the beard with a tap. So if it's only an iser derabbanan, maybe there might be room to be mekel. Someone once asked me, a shayla, that it's very hard for him when he cuts with a, when he shaves with the shaver, it's very painful. Shaves on the neck with the shaver, so he gets some kind of a rash, cuts too close, it cuts in a way that it's very uncomfortable for him. And when he gets the razor cut, it's actually more comfortable. It's a more comfortable cut. So I asked Rabbi Willig, so he said, look, it's best to be machmir, not to do a razor cut on the neck, but the makom tsar gadol, he said, if it's only an isadra banan, he sees that perhaps there might be room to be made. So that's in terms of the razor cut on the neck. If you can avoid it, better to cut it with a shaver, not to cut it with a razor. But if you can, if it's a makom tsar, so then maybe it'll be mutter to cut with a razor. In terms of the back of the neck, at first glance, what could be the problem to cut the back of the neck with a razor? It's not the zakon, it's not the peah. It's true. I mean, technically speaking, it should be permissible. The problem is, once you get to the sides, so it's not really so clear where do the peah begin, where does the back of the neck end. So I guess, you know, to cut smack in the middle of the back of the neck, it wouldn't be a problem, but because it's a little tricky, it's probably better not to do that. It's probably better to cut the back of the neck with a trimmer. That's what most barbers do. They put the trimmer, you know, they take off the guard, and they just use the trimmer on the back of the back of the hair. I think that's the best way to cut the back, because it's probably not going to be, I mean, if anything, you're going to cut close to the beard, not close to the peis. Misparayim ka'in tar, and the beard is mutter. So if you use the trimmer on the back of the neck, there won't be any problem. Even if you go from the back of the neck to the beard, if we say misparayim ka'in tar is mutter, so there won't be any kind of issue. So that's the psak halacha, that it's best to cut the beard with a shaver, with a trimmer. Obviously, it's also to cut with a razor. But for the peos, it's best to be machmir for the rosh, that even misparayim ka'in tar might be a problem. And therefore, one should only cut the peos with a scissor, not with a trimmer. Okay, and in terms of the razor cut, if there's no tsar, to cut the front of the neck with a razor should be avoided. If there is tsar, to use a shaver, then you can use a razor. The back of the neck, it's more lenient to cut the back of the neck with a razor, but there really is no reason for it. Just cut the back of the neck with a trimmer, and you'll avoid all of the problems. You won't get into the issue that you're coming close to the beard, and it's also to cut the beard with a razor.